Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wait, that's not the Brian Lehrer Show theme. This is much better. This is from the 1962 record, The Bridge, by jazz legend Sonny Rollins. Listen for just a second if you don't know Sonny's work. Yeah, that's him on saxophone. And guess what this is? This is his take on what the Williamsburg Bridge sounds like. At least that's what it sounded like in his head in 1962. What do you think? It's a subjective exercise for sure, but more than a lot of people, Rollins had a relationship to the Williamsburg Bridge and an idea of what it sounds like. At 28 years old, after releasing a whopping 21 full-length albums, Rollins suddenly stopped recording and took a year or two sabbatical of sorts, where? On the Williamsburg Bridge for 16 hours a day. He would go to the bridge and practice. In an interview with him in the Times in 2013, Rollins recalled his time on the bridge this way. He said, "Playing against the sky really does improve your volume and your wind capacity. I could have just stayed up there forever, but my wife was supporting us and I had to go back to work. You can't be in heaven and on earth at the same time." Ha. Now, for those of you who don't remember 1962, maybe you remember that in The Simpsons, Lisa first meets her made-up jazz idol, Bleeding Gums Murphy, when he's playing on a bridge in Springfield. Well, that character was based on Sonny Rollins. Rollins himself made a cameo on The Simpsons in the 24th season, where he plays a holographic version of himself, trying to convince Lisa that holograms are good for music, but he's really just a shill for the music industry.
Sonny Rollins?
That's right, Lisa, and I'm here to beg you to stop writing those letters.
You're siding with record companies?
This isn't about money, Lisa. From Tupac Shakur to Dwight Eisenhower, holograms have introduced some of our leading dead people to a new audience of people with money. Resetting. From Tupac Shakur to Dwight Eisenhower.
You're a hologram, aren't you?
No. Resetting.
Ha, so a legend with a sense of humor. What is not holographic and really quite real is a new campaign to rename the Williamsburg Bridge the Sonny Rollins Bridge in his honor. It would be the first New York bridge named after an African-American and first named after a cultural rather than political figure. Think Ed Koch Bridge, RFK Bridge, etc. Here to tell us about the campaign is the visionary behind the idea, Jeff Caltabiano. And with him, we have comedian Negin Farsad, who co-directed a short documentary about Sonny Rollins and the bridge. She's also the author of How to Make White People Laugh. And also we're joined by the wonderful jazz musician Clifton Anderson. He's also the nephew of Sonny Rollins. And his latest album, as some of you may know, is And So We Carry On. Hi, all. Welcome to studio.
Hello.
Pleasure to be here.
So, Jeff, what gave you this idea to rename the Williamsburg Bridge?
So, I lived on the Lower East Side for 13 years, two blocks from the pedestrian entrance. I've been a big jazz fan for 20 years, but had heard this story before. It's very well known within the jazz community, but not really beyond the jazz community. And then I had read in 2015 Sonny had written a piece for the New York Times talking about the sabbatical, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. And so every time I went up on the bridge, I would think about Sonny. I would daydream about walking by him, playing his saxophone. You know, Sonny's spirit is still up on that bridge since he left in 1961. Someone had posted online, it's still Sonny Rollins Bridge to me. And with a photo of the bridge, and I said, and a light bulb went off in my head, and I said, that's it. Like, we've got to make this official. This is and has been Sonny Rollins Bridge, and now it's time for us to make it official.
Negin, what got you involved?
Oh, you know, it's funny. Like, I am not at all a jazz fan. I've never, you know, I haven't known much. Jeff here is a total jazz nerd and would and told me this story. And again, like once you hear the story about this man who spent this, you know, 2 years on this bridge and practicing every day and changing the game of jazz and changing his own musical tone, like it's really inspiring. And once, you know, I heard some of his music, I sort of became a fan myself, but just more that the idea of the Williamsburg Bridge is so tied with Sonny Rollins now. Like Jeff was saying, every time I go to the bridge, every time I see the bridge, every time I think of the bridge, this little story comes to my head of like, you can really transform yourself. You can really have an impact on culture and music and the city through this kind of personal transformation that Sonny Rollins had on this bridge. And it's inspiring. And I think, you know, we've never had a bridge named after a cultural figure, and that would be remarkable.
People who follow jazz know Sonny Rollins is one of the giants. I know a lot of people, Clifton listening right now, have probably never heard of Sonny Rollins before because it's just not been their genre. You grew up with him since you're his nephew, also in the jazz context because you're also a jazz musician and I know you've played with him a lot. How would you describe, for the uninitiated, your uncle's influence in jazz?
Well, it's very, let me use a word that's used quite often these days, awesome. Okay, he's internationally. The interesting thing about this whole project, you know, in talking to Jeff about the bridge and Sonny on the bridge, is that this story is known. Yes, it's very well known amongst jazz musicians in the city here, but all over the world, it's a story that's known, and it's probably better known in other places in the world than it's even known here in New York. So Sonny's influence, as a result of being up on that bridge and practicing and bettering himself, it has stood as a kind of a marker for most musicians around the world in terms of discipline, you know, spiritual development, all of these things, very important things that are that go beyond necessarily the immediate scope of jazz, of playing jazz. Well, I shouldn't say that, but in a way, branch out into other aspects of humanity and living. And so, you know, Sonny is, when I say awesome, it's his impact has been really globally very awesome.
And at the level of musicianship, you know, if they say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. Well, that's how you get to the Williamsburg Bridge, too. And I have this quote here from the 1958 issue of the Jazz Review, the same year that the music we're about to hear was recorded. A critic wrote, basically, Sonny Rollins had mastered this way of improvising using themes and theme fragments, inventing melodies and fragments of melodies, and developing them in a way, and listen to this comparison, developing them in a way that was not unlike how Beethoven might develop a theme in one of his symphonies. So with that in mind, let's listen to a little bit of Sonny Rollins from the Freedom Suite. Get a little idea of the theme and the variations, first on the bass, and it continues there with the saxophone. So let's take another, a listen to another Sonny Rollins thing, and this is from his album, appropriate to this conversation, The Bridge, recorded in 1962. All right, Megan, does that sound like the Williamsburg Bridge to you?
It absolutely does. I mean, I think, you know, what's really exciting about the story is that it could take someone who's not a super duper jazz person and kind of transform them into one just by hearing this piece, this connection, you know what I mean, to the city and to like a bridge that you might just think of as like just a bridge. I walk over, I don't care, I bike over, I drive over it. It's like, you know, it doesn't mean very much. And who even knows what the original name was after. Most people don't. I happen to know that it was named after like the nephew of Benjamin Franklin, the grandnephew of Benjamin Franklin. But, it actually has so much more meaning now in the 21st century with the Sonny Rollins story.
So, Clifton, how did playing on the bridge change him, either as a musician or as a person?
Well, of course, I wasn't around at that particular time to know exactly what his I know that his intention was to go to find some place that he could find some solitude to play, focus, and improve himself. I know that he was living in a space where musicians always practicing around in apartments in New York have a difficulty because of the sound, trying to not to disturb neighbors and everything. So I think that he on Grand Street, it was a short walk up to the bridge for him, and he was able to go up there. And in those days, as far as I'm told, there wasn't a lot of traffic on the bridge. So he found that location up there and was able to play. And then, for wind instrument players also, when you're playing against natural sounds, it helps to build your lung capacity and your sound on your instrument, all of these things,
And as we roll another 1962 clip from Sonny Rollins called Our Man in Jazz, Jeff, this is called Oleo, mm-hmm. One of the most famous Sonny Rollins tracks, actually, a version he recorded after his stint on the bridge. Jeff, maybe you'll talk over this about how the jazz scene actually changed dramatically in those two particular years in the early 60s that Sonny was away from it, right?
Indeed. 1959 is often considered the most pivotal year in jazz history, at least in modern jazz history. A lot changed. A lot of new sounds came on the scene. A lot of really, really, really important albums were recorded or released that year, including Kinda Blue.
Miles Davis.
John Coltrane put out his Giant Steps that year. Dave Brubeck put out Time Out. So really, for him to leave, not just at his height, but also at such an important year in jazz, it's really kind of phenomenal to think about.
So, Negin, how can people get involved if people want to join the campaign to rename the Williamsburg Bridge after Sonny Rollins?
Yeah, I mean, they can go to the website, sonnyrollinsbridge.com, and we join our mailing list, where there will be extraordinarily infrequent updates about the bridge's progress. And again, Jeff, the bill is in council mm-hmm. right now, so you could holler at your council person to get behind it.
Absolutely.
And one more clip as we go out. Jeff, you wanted to play this one. It's a more recent recording. This is Sonny Rollins playing a saxophone solo from 2016. Do you want to set this one up?
Yeah, I mean, part of why I chose this was because it's him playing solo, and it sort of invokes him being on the bridge for those 2 years, and him not only improving his playing, but also wanting to become a better human being. He started getting into yoga, and he started exercising and studying. So this piece is him as a in solitude, playing his horn, just as he would.
Jeff Caltabiano started the Rename the Bridge project. Negin Farside, co-director of a short documentary about Sonny Rollins and the bridge. She's also the author of How to Make White People Laugh and A Very Funny Comedian, Making Anybody Laugh, and jazz musician Clifton Anderson. We'll listen to this play out. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.